It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour number 2 on a Tuesday. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. So my wife loves Amy Schumer. She's just watching something on... Amy Schumer's got some, like, 10-minute vignettes.
I think it's Life and Beth or something.
Yeah, yeah. My wife loves it.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, it'd be nice. So I went and looked to see if Amy Schumer's touring and get her tickets. And it sure enough, it popped up on my phone that Amy Schumer's touring. And how in the hell can you tour to 40 cities and only show up in California once?
Yeah, a lot of comedians do that.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What?
I feel like they should have more shows in L.A.
She's going to Red Bank, New Jersey.
Well, I suppose the rest of the country needs some things. We can't have it all.
Grand Prairie, Texas. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Salamanca, New York. And never comes to L.A.
There's no shows in L.A.?
There's one in San Diego, November 20th. It's like Thanksgiving. I can't break the family up for Thanksgiving. Come
Did
on,
you
Amy
look this up, or just because you were talking about Amy Schumer?
No, last night I was trying to be a thoughtful husband, so she was watching this Amy Schumer thing. I was working out, and I came in like twice, and she was watching it. She was laughing. Oh, she's so funny. I thought, I'll get
That's
her some...
very thoughtful, Colin.
Oh, yeah, very thoughtful guy. Yeah.
What are there any in Chicago?
Yeah, November 12th in Chicago. I guess I'll have to do that. But how do I get there? I'm here entertaining
well,
America.
Well, maybe it's a girls' trip. You know?
My wife doesn't laugh enough. I'd like to be there when she is. You know, I'd kind of like to be part of it. All right. Anyway, Amy, get it together. Come to Los Angeles. It's a big city. A lot of people...
a lot of comedians do this, though.
They don't go to L.A.?
I don't know what it is. Yeah, I feel like a lot of popular comedians do not do shows in L.A. Maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know what it is.
Moorhead, Minnesota gets Amy Schumer.
I don't know, Amy. We'd like you to do a personal show for Colin here in LA.
I don't understand it. So, by the way, there's a rumor out that the Utah Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder, possible replacement for Frank Vogel. I know Frank. I like Frank. I'm not saying he should be replaced. But Quinn Snyder, it's interesting. He is Rick Pitino without the baggage. He's considered a basketball savant. He was the best high school basketball player at Mercer Island High School when I was in high school. Like my senior year, there was this kid named Quinn Snyder flying up and down the court, state champs, went to Duke, super bright. And 8 years in Utah, six straight winning seasons, and that's during the Harden, Chris Paul Rockets, the Warriors dynasty, Laker and AD in L.A., Clippers went big in free agency, and the best young construct in 10 years, maybe, the Phoenix Suns, and they have six winning seasons. And they've only got one star, Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert's underrated, gets a lot of crap. He's a good player. He's not really a guy that, you know, Donovan Mitchell is what wins in the playoffs. He's a great player, both ends of the floor. So it's very interesting. I've always felt the Utah Jazz are like the Green Bay Packers. Great fans, great facilities, incredibly well run, but they're missing a leg on the bar stool. There's three ways in pro sports to get players. Draft and develop them, trade for them, or they come to you in free agency. And both the Packers and Utah don't do well in free agency. Players don't select Utah. It's beautiful, it's a state. And I mean, Karl Malone and Stockton liked it, but they were drafted, right, and developed. But historically, Utah and Green Bay, they don't get that. They're missing that third leg of the bar stool. And it matters. You look up with both and you're like, Stockton Malone, how did they not win a title? Green Bay Aaron Rodgers, like 15 years, they got one title. Isn't that what we're always saying about Green Bay? How do you have Favre and Aaron Rodgers and two Super Bowl titles? Because you're missing a stool on the leg. And so, you know, it's almost like states. How do you make revenue as a state? You have sales tax. That's a big part of it. You have, you know, state tax. So when you have a low sales tax in a state, like Oregon has no sales tax, which is idiotic. You're missing a stool on the, you've got it. So a tourist can walk into the state, use your state parks, fill up for gas, use a hotel. And in Oregon, that guy just leaves the state. You didn't get anything from him. Nevada is the opposite. They charge the hell out of tourists, but they have no state tax. So they're missing a bar stool. You're going to pay for that in your schools, your police force, your fire. Some way you're going to pay for it. You got to have three, got to have all three legs in the bar stool. And so the Jazz and the Packers, you can win a lot, but if you want to win championships in sports, that is a big missing piece. That somebody, Devontae Adams literally chose the Raiders. Russell Wilson chose Denver. And that's the difference between winning champion. Peyton Manning had seven teams that wanted him. He chose Denver. A lot to do in Denver. The golf, the mountains, the, you know, it's a vibrant, dynamic economy.
Well, it's not that it's impossible anymore. I mean, Milwaukee just did it. But Milwaukee did also bring in some outside pieces.
Yeah, they did the trade thing.
Right.
So they trade for Drew Holiday. By the way, they stole Chris Middleton from the Pistons. That's one of the most underrated deals ever. He was a throw-in piece and became an all-star.
And they also have Giannis, which is a difference maker.
Right.
Like, you can have a super superstar, but then things still have to align, but you have to have those other pieces. I mean, Green Bay did win a championship with Favre and with Aaron Rodgers. So it's not that you can't win a championship.
And I'm not picking on small markets because the Celtics, a lot of players don't choose the Celtics historically. A lot of NBA players don't choose it. They draft well. They can make trades. But, you know, you ask the NBA player you want to play in Boston, a lot will just be like, no, too provincial, not our thing. So let's go to Joe Thomas, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame next year. He's eligible next year, and he'll get in first time. It won't be that difficult. That's an easy one. He played in the NFL 11 years, was a Pro Bowler 10 of them. So, and by the way, I thought last time I saw you had big bushy hair. I don't know. Have you cut it all off? What's going on there, Joe? I like the look. It's very sturdy.
Yeah, you must have been involved in my dreams because I had a lot of great hair the last time I fell asleep and had one of those wonderful dreams at night.
Hey, let me ask you. You know, I was right on the Baker thing, blah, blah, blah. But I will say this, whatever. I, you know, and my thing, Joe, was always, I thought he was too turbulent for a dysfunctional organization. I thought Matt Ryan in Cleveland, that's what Cleveland needs, is not a lot of dysfunction. So now you get Deshaun Watson, who's better than Baker, but man, there's a lot of noise. We got civil suits. It's a massive contract. How is it playing this morning in Cleveland? How is Deshaun in Cleveland playing?
Well, I think it's playing the same way that it's playing throughout the country, right? A lot of people are a little bit upset about this. A lot of upset about this. There's fans that are really excited in Cleveland because they see what Deshaun Watson can do for this franchise. He's clearly the best quarterback that they probably have ever had in the Super Bowl era. And he gives them an opportunity as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. He's a guy that's a tier one quarterback that is just entering the prime of his life. But you can't talk about who Deshaun Watson is on the field without talking about those 22 sexual misconduct allegations that he's continuing to face. And so as fans, we're conflicted, right? We want to be behind our team. We cheer for the orange helmet and typically all the players that are playing under that orange helmet. But when you have a person that has this off-field issue, which is huge, that he's dealing with, you're conflicted. I mean, it's not like you're having that victory parade that you usually have when you get a player of Deshaun Watson's caliber.
You know, I was talking to Mary Kay Cabot, and she said there were stories that came out that Baker was going to hold out. He was furious with how they were treating him. He was going to hold out. When that story gets out, I can see Cleveland fans sort of, you know, like, hey, dude, we had your back. Come on now. We gave you some really good pieces, a good O-line, and we went and got OBJ. We went and got Jarvis Landry. This morning, the favorability rating for Baker Mayfield, now that it's all, you know, they're going to move him eventually, right? They're not going to move him in division or anything. You probably won't see much of him in Cleveland. What's Baker's favorability rating as he leaves town here pretty soon?
Well, it's going down, Colin. I think people in Cleveland were so starved for a winner. They were starved for a franchise quarterback that we all wanted to believe that Baker could be that guy. And so what happens is you have people that really believe Baker was the guy, that were the most vocal pieces of the fan base. And then the people that maybe were a little bit skeptical or didn't like him for whatever reason, or just didn't think he was that good of a quarterback, they weren't willing to be vocal because they were afraid to be wrong, right? You don't want to be wrong for the first time in many decades about the position that you need most when you're a Cleveland Browns fan that has dealt with 1-31. And I think initially that was part of maybe why you heard a lot of negative reactions from the Browns fans, is not only are you bringing in a guy who's dealing with a lot of controversy in Deshaun Watson, but you're kicking a guy out of town, Baker Mayfield, who a lot of fans felt like he was one of them. He wanted to be in Cleveland when nobody else wanted to be there. He was somebody that was all in on this team. And he famously said, while he was throwing Duke Johnson under the bus, hey, you're either with us or you're against us. You're either on this train or you're not. So now, as the information that surrounds around the trade is getting out, there's a lot more people who are being vocal in Cleveland saying, hey, maybe I didn't really like Baker all that much, because part of the reason I loved him was because of how much he loved Cleveland. He wanted to be here. He was willing to sacrifice everything to bring us a championship. And maybe that was not the case like we thought it was.
Yeah. So when you look at the Bengals had a great run last year, and they've had a very good offseason. They really attacked with absolute clarity their offensive line, upgraded at right tackle, upgraded at guard. That makes things – so their offense now is set. They got the back – they've got the quarterback, the weapons. They can really attack the defense in the draft overwhelmingly. Let's go solve. And it wasn't bad, by the way. They had a nice pass rush last year. But, you know, having played your football in Ohio, Brown fans, one of the only teams they could ever pick on was Cincinnati, right? That was one you could go, yeah, well, you think we have issues. They got issues too. What do you make of the end of last year for the Bengals and what they're doing? Are the days of laughing at the Bengals over as somebody who now resides in Ohio?
Absolutely. And I think it's important to say part of the reason Baker is not the Cleveland Browns quarterback anymore is because of what people in Ohio and what people in Berea saw that Cincinnati was able to do when they got a franchise quarterback. And then also what Baker Mayfield sort of did to himself with his prickliness, especially at the end, and how they said, we don't want this with this performance. We want a guy like Joe Burrow, who by all accounts is a tremendous leader. The locker room loves him. The city loves everything he's doing. And he says and does all the right things in that situation. And that franchise is set up for the next 10 to 20 years with that guy because of who they have at quarterback. And they're going to be legitimate Super Bowl contenders as long as they're able to manage the cap down the line, because like you mentioned, tons of weapons at receiver. Now they're addressing the offensive line, which was the biggest concern in the Super Bowl and largely why they lost the Super Bowl. And that defense, one of the most unheralded defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
We didn't really know a lot of those names, but they played together. They had a synergy about them on defense that made them better than the sum of the parts. And I think that's why they were so good down the stretch in the playoffs, because playoffs is a matchup game. It's a one loss and you're done game. And with that playoff system, you're going to go against teams that maybe want to throw the ball down the field. Maybe they're really solid on defense. Maybe they have a really good running game. And when your defense is flexible, like the Cincinnati Bengals, where they have a lot of guys that can do a lot of things really well, that makes you the best defense when it comes playoff time.
Only offensive lineman to make 10 straight Pro Bowls in the history of the league is the guy I'm talking to, Joe Thomas. So it's funny. Everybody thought Brady was washed in New England. He goes to Tampa, gets way better weapons, and doubles his touchdown pass totals the last 2 years. A lot of people thought Matt Stafford, the best years were done. He goes to the Rams with better weapons. Boom, there you go. Wins a Super Bowl. I'm not saying Matt Ryan's Brady or Stafford. I'm throwing out the caution, the yield sign on he's washed. Atlanta's been in rebuild for 3 years. The one time he had a great coordinator, he won the MVP and got to a Super Bowl, and the Colts are really well built. You tell me, I know he's not athletic. I know he doesn't move the pocket, but you had in your career probably 7 different quarterbacks behind you. Is there ever an advantage to having a classic veteran drop back, stay in the pocket presence like Matt Ryan? You tell me as an offensive lineman.
Sorry, I must have had a bad connection. I thought you said 7 quarterbacks behind me, because I had like 27 quarterbacks behind me. I played with every single quarterback you can possibly imagine, from Seneca Wallace and Johnny Manziel to the Josh McCowns and Colt McCoys. So I really will say that Matt Ryan really gets me excited if I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan, because when you're evaluating quarterback play, especially veteran quarterback play, and you're saying, how does this guy fit in my system? The number one thing you're going to evaluate is decision-making, because that's the most important thing in making an offense run. Obviously, with today's advances in training and taking care of your body and taking care of your arm specifically, we're not seeing the demise in arm strength and arm accuracy that we saw even 10 or 15 years ago. You talk about the Tom Brady method and what that has done for quarterbacks, and with Tom House and these quarterback gurus that are helping you understand how to keep the snap in your throwing motion to be able to continue to have that velocity later on in your career. I think a guy like Matt Ryan, when you put the defense around him, when you put the weapons around him and the running game around him, he still has that decision-making, if not the best of his entire career. And now you maybe get another receiver in the draft, or you find a way to give him another weapon, and all of a sudden he looks like a totally different guy. And I think that's what we're going to see with Matt Ryan in Indianapolis.
No, what's really interesting, Joe, he's tied with Matt Stafford for the most game-winning drives since he came into the league. And he's tied with Brady for the most 20-plus touchdown seasons. And those two guys, a lot of people thought were kind of washed, left and won. So I think we have a precedent that if you give Matt Ryan a grown-up offensive line, a stellar run game, and a really good defense in a weird division, it's a weird, weak, you know, wonky division, I think he'll do well. All right, Joe Thomas, it is great seeing you. He's eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame next year. He'll be a one and done and get in. It's great seeing you again.
Thanks for having me on, Colin.
Yeah. Yeah, the those turbulent Baker Mayfield years. You know, I could really rub it in. I'm not done. I'm done.
I'll rub it in.
I'm not going to rub it in. I'm not.
I'll be petty for you.
I'm not going to be petty. There's no
reason. Colin was super duper 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 right about it.
Yeah, but I'm wrong all the time, but that one I was right. But there's no reason to rub it in, because frankly, I told you this last year. The Baker story is not interesting anymore. Once you win the argument, it's not any fun.
Well,
it's not. What's the win for me?
Well,
by the way, I also want an Aaron Rodgers. I said very early he's difficult to get along with. He is an agitator, not a lubricator.
Yeah.
And here's Aaron at the end of his career, making a lot of money, living on an island by himself with no weapons outside of Aaron Jones. So
no, I mean you don't have to rub it in. That kind of takes a little bit of the elitism out of it. You can just be right.
Yeah, I got no.
And not remind everyone how right
Baker
you are.
Baker in Seattle is not interesting.
No, it's not. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback anymore.
Listen, Russell Wilson in Denver, and I'm not saying it because I'm right. That's a fascinating team.
Here's the thing with Baker, you can't make the argument. Well, he just needs the right pieces around him.
He had them.
What was that roster? Dude, you had the coach of the year.
It's the best O-line, according to PFF, like last year in the league.
You can talk about the injuries, that's fine, but you chose to put yourself in a vulnerable position and play through those injuries. That was a choice.
Can you imagine? I was just thinking about this the other day. So you're the Chargers, and you're like, man, we got Khalil Mack, and we got J.C. Jackson. Boom! An hour later, the Raiders get Devontae Adams, Deshaun Watson comes over. Now Matt Ryan comes over. Think about if I said to you, teams that feel like, I'm not saying they should be favored, but teams that could possibly win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Rams, Bucks. I don't think Green Bay is a Super Bowl team.
I don't either.
Rams, Bucks, NFC.
I think Arizona's in that space.
Okay.
Depending on how things go throughout the season.
Okay, fair. Now just go to the AFC. Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Kansas City.
Chargers,
Raiders.
Denver.
Raiders
offensive pieces and pass rush. It is a quarterback weapons pass rush league. Raiders are A at all of them.
Ravens, Bengals.
I mean, I don't think Cleveland this year.
No,
but
not this
I do
year.
Think next year, Deshaun and that team is
not
a Super Bowl.
Not this year.
Okay. I won't count. I don't see Indy or Tennessee as a Super Bowl team, but they're certainly competent. They could absolutely.
Well, someone's got to win that division.
Yeah. It's just the separation. It's almost like what's happened the last 10 years in college football. The SEC was better 10 years ago. It's separated. Like the SEC has separated to a point that it hurts the sport. Like it's so important for Cristobal in Miami, Lincoln Riley at USC, and Sark at Texas. Those are big, glamorous brands. They need to be good. It's hurting the sport that the sport is so regional.
Yeah.
Now, we knew the SEC was better if you were reasonable. It was better than everybody 10 years ago. It's not like it is now, where the two best teams in that conference are often the two best teams. If Alabama was healthy and didn't lose their wide receivers, Georgia and Alabama were the two best teams. Watch the games. They were just faster, more physical. We're getting to a point now with Deshaun and Matt Ryan in the last week going to the AFC as well. The NFC is a two-team proposition.
Right. Well, I would say the difference between the sports because of college football and the NFL, so the teams are still spread out around the country.
Right. It's not
but
regional.
But the conferences obviously are very lopsided. But I do think because they are so lopsided that they are going to be the ones that get the next wave. The NFC is going to get the next wave of quarterbacks in the next draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it will bounce out.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Carolina or Atlanta are going to take Malik Willis. So if he pops, you get lucky. You got a team that has a talented quarterback, 4 years not paying him anything.
Yeah.
And I do think, I will say this, you're right, Arizona could be a team that I'm discounting. And I think if Trey Lance can play, they've got all the components. I mean, star receiver, star back, star O-line, pass rushers, great coach, Hall of Fame left tackle. If Trey Lance can play, and my answer is I think he can, then San Francisco, along with the Rams and the Bucks, is in that really elite class of teams. I mean, good God, they're getting the Super Bowls with Garoppolo and getting the conference championships with Garoppolo. So we know that if the quarterback's right and more athletic, you're going to be good.
And healthy.
Yeah, and healthy.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Corporation has helped raise more than $11.7 million for the American Red Cross to support their mission of providing aid and resources, including food, water, medical supplies, and housing support to people in Ukraine and those who've been forced to leave their homes. You can join Fox in supporting the Red Cross relief efforts. Donate by visiting redcross.org/foxforward or by scanning the QR code at the bottom of your screen.
Sometimes I brought up that I couldn't get tickets for Amy Schumer.
Yes.
And a comedian, Bill Engvall, who's a very successful comedian.
Yes.
And my buddy, Jeff Cesario, who had 30 appearances on The Tonight Show. He's now a successful producer. He told me it's an industry town. You can't get comedians in L.A.
Yeah.
Because they can make more money going to Minneapolis, where those people don't see them as often. They sell out venues. In Los Angeles, there's a million options. You have to charge so much. You'd have to sell out Nokia or the Staples Center to make big money. So it's easier to go to a place with 2,000 seats in Minneapolis. You sell it out for Amy Schumer, and she, it's a big win for the promoter, for Amy, for the ticket people. And so thanks to Bill Engvall and Jeff Cesario for clearing that up, because I'm trying to get Amy Schumer is one of those people like the late Norm Macdonald, obviously funny, but one of the great guests. Like, if you go to Amy Schumer on The Ellen Show, it's one of the funniest 12-minute sets I've ever seen in my life. It's hysterical. Norm Macdonald on Letterman would change the television. I mean, you'd have to set it, get up at night to watch it, or the next day on YouTube. So thank you to the comedians who are watching or listening, because I couldn't figure it out.
No, I like when we learn stuff about other businesses.
So do I.
Because I don't know. Like, I've always wondered that, because I'm like, I want to see this person, or I want to see this band, or whatever, and they're never in town.
And that's LA venues are very expensive.
Well, I mean, we have the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory and Santa Monica Comedy Club. Like, you have comedy clubs everywhere and shows everywhere.
Well, I used to live in Manhattan Beach. I would go down, and I wouldn't do it often, but about three times a year, I'd go down to the Hermosa Comedy Store.
Right.
Once I went, Jay Leno was in the back. And I just sat and talked to Jay Leno for like 15 minutes. Fascinating conversation. There would always be, my buddy Jeff Cesario would be there. There would always be like, you know, really, really funny people. I would go sit in the back with the comedians and just, they'd eat dinner. They get a comp dinner and just listen to them. And I'm like, it's just fascinating. There's so many venues in LA. You can walk into a bar and you have no idea who's going to show up. My stepson's a chef. Jeff Beck just showed up to a restaurant. Bieber was at a restaurant 2 weeks ago. I'm like, you're not going to get that in Cincinnati.
It makes sense.
And it happens.
Oh, poor us. We weren't going to be able to see the best comedians.
Joy with the news. No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Browns are looking for a potential trade suitor for Baker Mayfield since acquiring Deshaun Watson last week, but it is possible they might not find one. There are reportedly few, if any, teams interested in trading for Baker. Adam Schefter said that one team told the Browns they would need to receive a draft pick in any deal for Baker just to take on his contract.
So a team wants a draft pick to take him on.
Yes.
Forget giving
Cleveland
one. Forget
what you're going to get for Baker. Yes. Baker's owed $18.8 million. He had publicly demanded a trade just before the Browns got Watson. Watson saying he wanted to go to the Colts. Obviously, that is off the table now that Matt Ryan is there. And that could have also caused some problems for teams who might have been interested in Baker that he publicly demanded a trade. So one team that reportedly has no interest in Baker is Carolina, despite their need for a quarterback. So that's being reported.
Well, I mean, that the market for Baker is essentially Seattle, which I think is a disaster for Baker. If I was Baker, I'd be like, not interested.
I don't, to be honest, and there are some reports that Seattle's interested. If I'm Seattle, in the options Baker, why wouldn't I just go with Drew Locke?
You're going to be bad with both.
You're going to be bad with both. I'd be worse with Drew Locke and then get a higher draft pick. Not that I like when teams tank, but I do think you have to be honest about where you are and build up that defense this year, which should be the priority because it's a disaster. That's where they should be focusing on rather than reaching or taking on a contract with Baker Mayfield or guy in Baker Mayfield that could be very disruptive. I try to find like some silver lining in this for all of these stories. And I'm just having a tough time with this one. I think that Cleveland's, as a whole, the organization wants to be competitive more than anything else. I think they showed that in this move. And I think that there's always a little bit of blame pie to go around. It's not all on Baker.
Sure.
Cleveland's fan base certainly enabled Baker and encouraged his behavior a lot of times and the whole, you know, fake tough guy bit. And the organization also did not put their foot down with him early enough when he was doing that as well.
Fair.
And they also went through four coaches with him there. So it's not like he had the easiest entrance into the NFL, which is fair.
But remember, if Cleveland drafts Josh Allen, not Baker, you don't go through four coaches because you probably win with Hugh Jackson.
True.
You win with
I'm with you. Baker was not. And he had a nice rookie season, but I'm with you. I just think overall, it's not always on one person when relationships deteriorate and you have to look and be honest about what you did wrong and right in the situation to make it fall apart as well. Cleveland should look at that. What did we do to enable Baker to act this way? How can we change that culture if we're going to move forward with somebody else?
Yeah, again, I know it's probably not that compelling to the country, so I don't think Baker's that interesting anymore.
I think he's still an interesting topic. I think people still, everyone has an opinion about Baker, whether you care about what happens with Baker or not. He's on every commercial imaginable.
Yeah, I guess.
He has a massive brand. He was a number one overall pick. He is polarizing. People do have opinions about him, but I just think more and more it's very obvious. If Cleveland wants to remain a viable brand and they actually want to win, what you did with Baker and how you handled Baker should be a lesson moving forward.
Yeah.
Don't do that again. There's no reason to do that. There's no reason that your franchise quarterback should be out here arguing with beat reporters. That's insanity. That's really crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Nobody does that.
Right.
Not your franchise quarterback. So Matt Ryan to the Colts yesterday is a big move, and Atlanta is in quite a predicament now. He would have been a $48.7 million cap hit for this season for Atlanta, so now he will be a $40.5 million dead cap hit, which is the largest in NFL history.
And another reason to tank and go get a quarterback.
So according to Over the Cap's projections, the Falcons have $8.46 million in cap space available after the trade. The Colts also agreed to trade a third round pick, number 82 overall, to the Falcons for Ryan. And Ian Rappaport reported that part of the deal was the Colts picked up Ryan's $7.5 million signing bonus that he had put off when they were trying to work out a deal with Deshaun Watson.
Ask yourself this. Whenever there's a big trade and there's a star player in the trade and Matt Ryan's the star player.
Right.
If you don't know who won or who lost the trade, ask yourself one question. Do you think Matt Ryan is happier today than yesterday? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Matt Ryan, an aging player, gets a better O-line, a star running back, a better front office.
A fresh start, an optimistic fan base.
And his cap does not hold the team back if you look at the contract. Whatever you think about this trade, and I'm not saying it was a winner-loser proposition, Matt Ryan as a human being and as a professional athlete is happier today than yesterday and absolutely should be.
And the Colts are better than they were yesterday.
All he was in Atlanta was he was viewed by the owner, the GM, and the coach. All the discussions were, how do we get out of this contract?
He was a burden.
He was a burden to Atlanta, even though they liked him. Not that he's a savior with the Colts, but I mean, I think in Indianapolis today, they're being lauded forgetting the GM is, I think the offensive play, I think Michael Pittman benefits, Taylor does, Quentin Nelson, Chris Ballard. Like, if you ever wonder who won a trade, go to the star. Is he happier today than yesterday? Matt Ryan, this is like, seriously, so many players get traded to worse situations. He got a career break with this.
No, this is definitely a better situation for Matt Ryan.
Yes.
Now, when you're looking at the Colts overall, would you rather have Matt Ryan or would you rather have Carson Wentz?
Carson's bigger, more athletic, but...
Younger.
And younger. And you guys all hate Carson and
I don't hate Carson, but if I had a pick right now between Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz, and I am a critic of Carson Wentz, I would keep Carson Wentz.
Well, the owner's not going to allow that, so...
No, but I'm saying I think... How the Colts got themselves in this predicament to begin with is worth noting if this doesn't work out, because the Colts are going through quarterbacks like this.
Yeah, they've had a different quarterback six straight years. All I know is this. A week ago, we all thought the Colts were toast. This morning, I'm like, they got a draft pick. They got rid of Wentz. They got, I would certainly say, a safer quarterback, fewer picks, fewer headaches, fewer ill-timed mistakes.
Good in the locker room.
Better in the locker room.
They're going to be good with coaches.
He'll get vaxxed.
Have hope. Just can't put a number on hope.
That's a big deal in sports.
It really is. So the Cowboys recently traded Amari Cooper to the Browns, and Dak Prescott thinks the trade will give CeeDee Lamb a chance to step up to be the number one receiver. He said, yeah, there's no doubts that he is ready. I think that's the best part of that move. You look at a guy like CeeDee and what he's done in his first 2 years, it's exciting. He hasn't really scratched the surface. Just for him to be the one, to be the main guy, I know he's going to be ready for it. I know he's already ready, already doing the things he needs to do that are necessary to have a great season. Last year, CeeDee Lamb played 16 games and 79 receptions, 1,102 yards and 6 touchdowns. Amari Cooper played 15 games, 78 receptions, 865 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. They also have Michael Gallup, James Washington, and Noah Brown. This will be a big test for CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb is a really strong player.
He looks like a number one. Length, speed. When you watch him on the field, you think that's a number one. He can get into drops, and he was a tad inconsistent, had a bad playoff game. But when I watch CeeDee Lamb, he gets open like a number one.
He does, and he's still a young player. So to Dak's point, he can still develop into it. He's also going to have to, because Amari's not there.
For the record, Cooper Kupp, who I loved out of college first 2 years, had a little bit of a drop problem. Cooper Kupp is now the greatest single receiver in history ever. It does take time. The speed of the game... Cooper was really good.
Your body changes too, the longer that you're in the game as well. So I'm optimistic about CeeDee. I don't think they're a better team without Amari Cooper, and Dak hasn't been the same player without him. But Dallas is going to be a very interesting team this year because I think they fell very short of their expectations last year, and they have a lot of pieces that have been moved around.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I'm excited for the college basketball games this weekend. It's UCLA plays Carolina, isn't that right? That's a that kind of bums me out because I like both coaches and I like both programs. I think they
That's Friday.
Ah, what a bummer! I wish they didn't play each other.
I think that'll be a great game.
Oh, it'll be the game of the weekend on Friday. Because this weekend Arizona TCU was insane. Arizona probably should have lost. Couple calls didn't go TCU's way. TCU played great, and I thought Duke-Michigan State was nerve-wracking to watch. That game was pins and needles. I did feel that Arizona was better than TCU. Didn't mean they outplayed them, and I felt Duke was better than Michigan State. I don't know the answer on Carolina-UCLA. I don't know who's better. I've got to see them. Now, I thought Tennessee would beat Michigan comfortably, and Tennessee could not stop Dickinson, Michigan's big, couldn't stop him. He was too dominant, and so they hit a couple.
But Tennessee was your sleeper team, right?
Yeah. So I'm overthinking I can win the bracket. There was a time in my life, every time I bought a lottery ticket, I thought I would win. I would sit there and be like, oh, these are the winning numbers.
Yeah, but why? I mean, what's the point in buying it if you don't think that?
Desperation and sadness. I don't know. And then there was a time when I filled my bracket out, and I was sure I would win that. And I'm over that.
Yeah, I used to think that too. I was like, no, this is the one. And now I'm like, I'm definitely not. Generally, it's the people who've never watched a second of college basketball in their life who pick like the mascots that end up winning it.
So I picked Arizona to win. So I'm still barely alive.
Yeah, I have Gonzaga.
I don't think Gonzaga is as good as last year. UCLA is your dark horse. They look excellent. My dark horse is done. Your other dark horse, Iowa, tanked. Shocker.
That's on me. Yeah. That's poor decision making by me.
It's like you people that have Iowa in the Orange Bowl. It's not going to happen. They're going to look really good in September. They'll dovetail later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, you know, a lot of these pro days, these college kids will have what they call pro days. I've never been a huge viewer of the combine. You know, I love the draft. I love college football. The combine, I don't learn much at the combine. Pro days, mostly nonsense. But when you combine the pro day and the combine of this kid Malik Willis at Liberty, I'm watching his pro day today, he's impossible not to like. You guys all bang on me when I talk about personality. I don't understand how people don't think personality matters. It matters if you're an actor. Nobody wants to work with a jerk, right? It matters in our business. It matters in locker rooms. So when I bring up Johnny Manziel and I say he's just kind of cocky, obnoxious, of course it. Half the teams took him off their board. It wasn't because he couldn't throw the football. He was very good. Beat Alabama, Nick Saban. I mean, he's a talented kid. Or the Baker Mayfield stuff, or the Drew Locke stuff, or the Jameis Winston being wildly immature in college. The idea that it doesn't matter is the idea that it does matter is self-evident. You've seen all those careers implode. When you watch Malik Willis at the combine and his pro day today, big smile, big arm, just look at his body, big, thick NFL body. That kid's going to get drafted in the top five. Like, I would draft, if I'm Atlanta and Carolina, I'm drafting that kid. And you could say, well, you're making a big deal out of the smile. All that stuff matters. Jay Cutler's a great example. Jay Cutler wakes up with a scowl. He was just a guy that was difficult to get along with. I heard this out of college. I heard it in Chicago. I had a friend who was pretty close with Jay. Jay's super talented. If Jay was easy to get along with, he'd be in the league. Jay Cutler had a huge arm, really bright. Bright, big arm, impossible to get along with. Jeff George, similarly, huge arm, big talent, hard to get along with. It's not a little thing. It is arguably, after just pure talent, the thing. Can you walk into a locker room and can the coaches trust you? You're calling all the plays. You're the only guy touching the ball every play. So when I look at Malik Willis, I'm like, I'd like that guy in my room. That guy I want. Big, thick, big arm, power arm, super athletic. And I just watched his pro day. He is so easy to... Now, you could say, well, what about Zion? Zion fell apart physically. And we all knew with Zion. That was a huge risk. I said I would draft Zion over Ja Morant. And I said two reasons. Point guards don't lead you to titles if they outside of Magic. Okay. History is Steve Nash, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving was a bust till LeBron showed up in Cleveland. Steve Nash could never get to a finals. This kid, he is doing so well in the personality part of it. And for the record, that got Dak $40 million a year. Dak's college coach, Dan Mullen, said, I never loved his arm. Nobody loves Dak's arm. He doesn't have a great arm. Dak is trustable, likable, galvanizes people. That got him. There's more than one way to get $40 million. There's more than one way to get roles in Hollywood. It's not because you're gorgeous. Are you easy to work with? Do people like you? That's why what you see a lot of times with directors like Spielberg, he'll hire the same actors over and over. He's like, no, I got that guy I like. I like Hanks. Get me Hanks. and then Hanks will go to Spielberg. You'll work with a small group of people that are easy to get along with. You're not debating and arguing every day on the set. Making movies is intense. There's budgets. There's, you know, Paramount's barking at you. Disney's barking at you. All right, wrap it up. Let's go. Your budget shrinks. Don't go. It's hard to make movies. It's hard. It's hard to play football. Being likable matters. Malik Willis has hit a home run in the combine and the pro day. You can just watch him. Everybody's rooting for him. The scouts are howling. The kids on the sidelines are howling. That stuff is not a small part of it. It's not. That's how I got here. Got a lousy voice, pointy nose. I'm so likable in the industry. I mean, so incredibly likable. By the way, Buccaneers signed Leonard Fournette. Seriously. I mean, Tom's just getting all his guys back. They've added Shaq Mason, a top five guard. Russell Gage, excellent number three receiver. Russell Gage, excellent number three receiver. Gronk's probably going to come back. He'll just wait. Gronk's going to hold off as long as he can because he only wants to play in January. Boy, he chose right, didn't he? He went from the AFC East to the NFC South. In his division, the quarterbacks right now are Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, that is a layup if the NFL has such a thing. Hour three coming up next.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.